see. Okay, so we're going to do it in English today. So if you'll look on the front of your bulletin, we have today's affirmation, which is, I am a vital expression of the fullness of God life in my world. Let's say that together, please. I am a vital expression of the fullness of God life in my world. Appreciate. When I see the strength of a mighty oak or experience the delicate scent of a rose, I am filled with appreciation for the beauty and enrichment they add to my life. In amazement, I consider the inner potential released by a tiny acorn in becoming a tree that is now such a wonderful visible part of nature. I see the perfect rose that was contained within the rosebud before it ever started to unfold. I appreciate that I too am an expression of God life that adds meaning to the whole of creation. I am eager to commune with God and share my appreciation for the blessings that make life joyous, rich, and full. I appreciate the fullness of God life in my world. The more I give and receive in life, the more my gratitude grows. And from Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Okay, so let's begin our meditation time now by singing hymn number 103. And we will do the Lord's Prayer after Sue gives us our meditation today. Oh my God, my God, how I love Thee, how I love Thee, how I love Thee. Oh my God, my God, how
As you know, my name is Sue, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you today. And I was really excited when Betty said that I had the opportunity to do a meditation, because what we're going to do over the next 5 minutes is a technique that we use when we, you know, work to create world peace. And so it very nicely harmonized with what I'm going to talk about a little later. So first, what I'd like for you to do is just get your body in a comfortable position, whatever works for you. And you can either close your eyes or keep them open, but usually it's a good idea to have them closed because we might get too distracted by sounds or lights or movement. And so take a moment and just let go of any tension in your body. And just let your whole body be relaxed. And now relax your mind. So put aside any thoughts of the past or future, or of any people or places, and just let your mind rest in the present, this present moment, this present place. And now put your awareness at your breath and just be aware of each inhalation and each exhalation of your breath. And so you can watch your breath at the nostrils, where the air is coming in and out of your body. And you may be able to actually feel the sensation of the air as it passes in and out. And so just take a moment and be aware of each breath, each inhalation, and each exhalation. And if you're like me, you'll find it helpful to count your breath silently to yourself in rounds of 10. Breathing in, breathing out, 1. Breathing in, breathing out, 2. And you go up to 10 and start again at 1. And when your mind wanders, when it will, because it's normal for our mind to wander away, just bring it back to the breath. So if you have any thoughts or emotions or sensations in your body rise up, just let them go. Don't give them any energy. And bring your mind, your awareness, back to your breathing. And do this patiently, gently. Bring your mind back to the breath each time it wanders away. And go up to 10 and start again at 1. And now imagine that as you breathe in, you take in pure, blissful light. And think that this light is white in color and pure. This light represents all the good qualities and positive energy that exist in the universe. And it comes into your body and flows into all part of your body, going all the way down to the tips of your toes and tips of your fingers. And it fills every cell, every atom in your body. So take a moment, imagining that you're breathing in this blissful white light. And as this happens, you become filled with all the positive qualities the light represents. And just relax in this feeling of the bliss of love and compassion. So when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes and relax your body. Thank you. That's actually my favorite prayer, and I know it by heart. I wasn't always Buddhist. No, my favorite hymn is In Christ There Is No East or West. So if you ever sing that one, let me know. I'll come join. So thank you so much for having me today. And what I'm going to talk about is, from a Buddhist perspective, how we go about creating world peace. And so think about what we do when we have a headache. Some of us take Tylenol, some take aspirin, some take Advil, some of us take a nap. And there are different methods that achieve the same goal of getting rid of our headache. And so in the same way, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, I believe you all know him, he for us is, you know, represents the living Buddha. He says that we have many different spiritual practices that work to relieve the suffering that we experience and achieve everlasting happiness. Our goal is the same, but the way that we get there is a little different. And he says that when you find something that works for you, you go for it. So for example, in my family, you know, my mother's very Christian, she's very, very devout. I have my nieces who are Jewish. My Aunt Betty is very Southern Baptist, you know, one of those church ladies. And I'm Buddhist, and we have a whole different mix of religions. And what I find is that there are more similarities than differences. I mean, for example, the Ten Commandments are very similar to the Ten Virtuous Actions that I try to live by. But we do have one really big difference in Buddhism, and that's that we believe that we're our own creator, so to speak, that we create our own suffering and our own happiness, and we create our own everlasting peace. And all of the teachings of the Buddha can be summed up in this one verse. Do not commit any non-virtuous actions. Perform only perfect virtuous actions. Subdue your mind thoroughly. This is the teaching of the Buddha. And so what Buddha says, that if you want to, you know, create your happiness, your everlasting peace, you do two things. You stop doing things with a non-virtuous mind. And this is a mind that has anger, hatred, jealousy, a mind that usually just thinks about me. And what happens is that when you don't think about others and just think about yourself, is a lot of times you do things that harm them, like killing, you know, taking a life, stealing, taking something that you want from somebody else, you know, lying. And Buddha says these bring suffering to the other person or other being, you know, it can be animals or, you know, beings that we can't see. And it also brings us suffering. And he says you stop doing those, and then you start doing things with a virtuous mind, one that has love and compassion in it. And these are things like, you know, thinking about others, you know, using pleasant words, you know, not yelling, you know, just doing things like feeding the birds in the winter and thinking, oh, I hope that saves their life. Or when you're on the subway and you have all these groceries on your lap, just thinking, oh, that person looks like they might be more, you know, comfortable sitting down, and giving them your seat. So your motivation is to act with love and compassion. You're not expecting somebody to give you a standing ovation or say thank you. From your heart, from your mind, you want to do something to make another being happy. And Buddha says that when you do these things, this is what enables you to create your own happiness. Now, I remember the first time my teacher, Gyatso Soga, I have his picture here, he's a Tibetan Lama. You know, when I first met him, we didn't have a Buddhist center, so I had a lot of one-on-one, you know, discussions with him. So I met him 11 years ago, and I was kind of like, you know, his American student, and I'd like, okay, that is like so weird, I just don't get it at all. And he says, okay, because I'm like, so it's your mind that gives you happiness? I just don't understand that. It's your mind that creates peace? And he said, you have this, you know, glass of water. If you put a tea bag in it, it turns brown. If you put sugar, it turns sweet. Milk, it turns white. So whatever you put in the tea, it becomes. And whatever we put in our mind, it becomes. And so this is why, as Buddhists, we believe in the law of cause and effect, or karma. A positive action gives a positive result. Negative gives negative. You can't plant a lemon seed and get an apple tree. A chili seed gives a chili plant. And when we've transformed our minds to do only virtuous actions, we create our own everlasting peace. Kind of like the movie Groundhog Day. Did anybody see that? Yeah, he went through that day again and again and again. And then when he finally got it right, he broke through. And so when we finally get it right, only operating from a mind that has love and compassion, then we break through. And one of the tools that we use is that meditation that, you know, we did at the beginning of my talk. So what does this have to do with world peace? Well, His Holiness says, where the problem begins and where the answer must first be sought is within. In order to change the external situation, we must first change within ourselves. And somebody else very famous said, problems cannot be solved by the same consciousness that created them. That was Albert Einstein. And I mean, think about this. If war worked, we'd stop having war a long time ago, right? So we need to try something different. So from a Buddhist perspective, what kind, and I think from any perspective, you know, from a universal perspective, what kind of mind creates war? One that has anger, hatred, jealousy, attachment to, you know, my own views are right. You know, yours are wrong, I'm right. I want your land, I want your resources. And it's not just country to country or president to president or leader to leader. It's each one of us individually. And so what kind of mind counteracts this is the antidote to this? One that has love and compassion. One that has, and when you have love and compassion, by definition from a Buddhist point of view, you're working for the benefit of others and you have universal responsibility. And in A Human Approach to World Peace, His Holiness the Dalai Lama said, the premise behind this idea of universal responsibility is the simple fact that, in general terms, all others' desires are the same as mine. Every being wants happiness and does not want suffering. If we, as intelligent human beings, do not accept this fact, there will be more and more suffering on this planet. If we adopt a self-centered approach to life and constantly try to use others for our own self-interest, we may gain temporary benefits, but in the long run, we will not succeed in achieving even personal happiness, and world peace will be completely out of the question. And so where world peace starts is with each one of us, and it's how we live our life. You know, a lot of times when I tell people I'm Buddhist, they're like, oh, you must meditate all day, you know, or else they're like, oh, you don't look holy, you know, because they think that, you know, and also I go by my name Sue, you know, rather than my ordained name, you know, which is Suma Jampa Dokar, because, you know, it's more, I'm Sue, you know, and it's, you know, this Dalai Lama actually said, I was at a teaching with him once in his temple in India, he said, you know, most Westerners think that, you know, being Buddhist is sitting there looking holy and ringing bells and moving little beads around a string. And he says, you can train a monkey to do that. And what makes you Buddhist is how you live your life. And so by focusing on putting the teachings into practice, That's what makes us Buddhist, and that's what helps us achieve our goal of everlasting peace. And from a Buddhist perspective, that's what is the cause and condition for world peace. Because like everything else, cause and effect, we have causes to create the effect of world peace. So, you know, this sounds really good and everything, but like, what does it mean? And how can we start thinking about, you know, and I think these teachings are applicable whether or not you're Buddhist or have another spiritual practice or have, you know, no spiritual practice whatsoever, because it's part of our human nature. So there's three things that I think that, you know, we can think about doing. I mean, first, you know, we can vote. We can raise awareness on social issues. We can support, you know, projects that will, you know, outreach. And if we don't have time, we can give resources. You know, and when we think about others' happiness, that's our motivation. And so everything that we do, if we're doing it to create happiness for somebody else, will have that effect. And it's really strange when, I remember when I first started thinking about this idea of motivation, I thought it was really weird. And my teacher said, well, why do you brush your teeth? Because they're dirty. Why do you sleep? Because you're tired. Why do you eat? Because you're hungry. So everything we do has a reason behind it, and that produces a result. So if our motivation, if the reason behind our action is to create happiness, that produces a result. Secondly, we can work on developing a good heart. Now, in Buddhism, we use heart and mind synonymously, except we expand the definition of you know, mind to include our emotions, such as love and compassion, as well as those icky ones like anger, hatred, jealousy. And so one of the first things that we can do to develop love and compassion is to try to always respond with kindness, or at least as His Holiness says, you know, if you can't benefit, at least don't harm. So if I came up and I offered you a gift and you didn't take it, you know, who does it belong to? Me, right? I'm holding it, right? So if I come up and offer you anger, hatred, and jealousy, and you don't take it, it stops with me, and it doesn't spread. And that's a very simple technique that we can just do in our daily lives, even if it means putting aside a little of our ego and walking away, because then anger and hatred and jealousy won't use us to spread. And when we have inner peace, when we can do these things, you know, think about love and compassion, try to put that in our mind with a little bit of breathing or thinking about it or not taking somebody else's, you know, negative emotions, then we're at peace with ourselves. And my teacher often says that, you know, that's really important because think about it. Like when you go to a store and there are two salespeople, if one's in a really bad mood and one's, you know, happy, which one do you gravitate towards? You know, we gravitate naturally towards peaceful people. Now, the third thing that we can do to create world peace is to start small. I love it when my teacher talks about this. He says, you know, just start small because world peace comes from small peace. And so, for example, within our family or our close friend relationships, if we have compassion for one another and we can teach those around us, whether they're our children or our relatives or our friends, and then we can have a happy family unit from within. And this can spread to our neighbors, to our community, when you're in the, you know, subway station or on a bus. I mean, you notice that when you smile at people, they usually smile back. Or if you say thank you and they mean it, people usually say you're welcome. And I just would like to close with a way of thinking about this. So sometimes it's useful to define something by what it's not. So I'm 52, and I grew up in the swamps of Louisiana. And my father did civil rights law. And when I was little, you know, we had segregated schools. And when I was in first grade, nobody was allowed to come over. The time that I lived there until my parents got divorced when I was 11, nobody was allowed to come over to my house because of the work my father did. I wasn't invited to people's houses. I was called, when I was 5 years old and in first grade, I was called names so offensive I still won't repeat them today by, you know, by white people. I don't hope that's not an offensive term. I can't, you know, think of what else. I'm so nervous I'm going to say something wrong, especially since this is taped. Anyway, and, you know, and I remember when my parents got divorced when I was 11 and my mom moved to Boulder and we were packing things up. You know, we had all my school pictures, you know, those little tiny guys, you know, from first through seventh grade. I didn't have a smile in my face in any of them. And somebody noticed that. They said, you never smile. And that was the opposite of world peace. You know, and it impacted me, you know, because I had only one friend who would come over to my house because of what my father did. And so if we start within ourselves, positive or negative, that's what spreads. And we have a choice. Everything that we do, we can have a positive thought and make it a positive action, or negative thought and make a negative action. And this is what leads us to bring world peace. You know, as His Holiness says, we have to start within ourselves. And it's like a faucet that drips into a bucket. You think, oh, this is never going to overflow. And drop by drop, positive action by positive action, our bucket overfills with inner peace, which then taken together with all of our inner pieces can create world peace. Because as Gandhi says, we must be the change we want to see in the world. So that's what I had to say today. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Tom. And now we come to the time in the service where we share of our financial wealth. And we have a blessing of the tithes and offerings that we repeat together, and you'll find that in your bulletin. And let's say that together now. divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. And I am grateful. And this is also the fourth Sunday of the month, which is Spear Change Sunday. So the ushers are going to pass a second time, and any spear change that you want to release, feel free to do that. Yeah.